was chapter 12. So we're going to finish the chapter tonight. Text number 36 through 47.
Thus Lord Shiva could understand his position and that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has unlimited potencies. Having reached this understanding, he was not at all surprised by the wonderful way Lord Vishnu had acted upon him.
Last week we did 36.
So text number 36. 36, chapter 12. Okay. Chaitanya, you can read that.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as all-powerful because no one can excel Him in any activity. In Bhagavad Gita 7.7, the Lord says, Mata Paramparam Danyat Kinchi Dasti Dhananjaya. O Conqueror of Wealth, there is no truth superior to Me. No one can equal to Lord or be greater than Him, for He is the Master of everyone. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.1.3, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasabhav Vrijaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the only Master of everyone, including even Lord Shiva. What to speak of others? Lord Shiva was already aware of the supreme power of Lord Vishnu, but when He was actually put into bewilderment, He felt proud to have such an exalted Master.
So what are the points?
Lord has unlimited potency, and He bewildered Lord Shiva with Yog Maya as well as His own self, Vishnu.
Any other points?
You really appreciate your Guru when you know about His journey or His mission. So here, Lord Shiva is proud in the sense He is able to appreciate, or He feels His gratitude for His mission.
Any other points?
So basically, Prabhupada explains the previous chapters that we were originally from spiritual world, now we came back here, and then in the spiritual world, we always get bewildered by this energy. So actually, it's a very chance for us to realize the potency of the Lord again and go back. So Lord Shiva is in a similar situation. Like, he is bewildered now he is able to understand the position of his being now. Similarly, on the living entities must follow his path and they should be fortunate enough to understand the potency.
Anything else?
The moral of this story is that we should not be attracted to both sex. We should not be bewildered.
That's the moral of the story. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So, bhakti means giving credit to Krishna and to Guru. Lord Shiva has become bewildered by Krishna, but he doesn't mind. He is unaffected because he's not proud. Normally, when someone humiliates us, or when we become embarrassed like that, then we feel very ashamed and we feel discouraged. But Lord Shiva, because he is pure, he realizes that even though I have become bewildered by Mohini Murti, conquered by Lord Vishnu, but he feels positive about the situation. He gives credit. So as devotees, we need to learn that when we when anything successful takes place, or when anything takes place in our lives, we give credit to Krishna, to Guru. Srila Prabhupada always gave credit to his spiritual master. That was the etiquette, that was the mentality, that's the consciousness. So the consciousness of a devotee, he does not accept credit for himself, but he passes that to Guru,
and to Krishna. So Lord Shiva, in this situation, he is proud to have such a powerful master. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says like this. It says that glorious is a devotee who does not reject his master, and glorious is a master that does not reject his servant. So a devotee, he likes that Krishna is in the superior position. And that is spiritual consciousness. That is what elevates you to the spiritual world. That is the consciousness of the spiritual world. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that we see that Krishna is supreme and we are happy, we are unenvious, nirmatsara, which is what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, to be nirmatsara, free from envy. In the material world, we are envious. So we are envious of Krishna. We don't like to glorify Krishna. We don't like to glorify Guru. We don't like to glorify devotees. But when you become healthy in spiritual life, when your spiritual life develops and your Krishna consciousness develops, you want to give credit to Guru. You want to glorify the Guru. You want to glorify the Vaishnavas. You want to glorify Krishna. Now that is the mentality of a devotee. So when we're in conditioned consciousness, we don't like to give credit to others. We don't like to glorify others. But when we're in spiritual consciousness, we like to glorify others. We like to give credit to Krishna. And we see that Krishna is supreme. He is worthy of all credit. And he is worthy of all glorification. Because he is supreme in every way. But a neophyte devotee, he does not like to give credit. The quality of the Kanishta Adhikari is that he glorifies the spiritual master, he glorifies Krishna, but he does not glorify the other devotees. And you see, it's prevalent within the devotional community just to some extent. We see a Kanishta mentality there quite often. The people like to give lots of glorification to the guru or to the sannyasis. You know, when the senior devotees come, everyone falls over themselves. Almost sometimes in an embarrassing way. But when it comes just to serving the other Vaishnavas, there's not so much importance placed upon that. So that is Kanishta. I'll worship the deity, I'll worship the guru, I'll worship the senior Vaishnavas, but the other Vaishnavas I don't respect. But the higher mentality, which is the mentality of the Majjhima Adhikari and the Uttama Adhikari, is that they will give glorification to all devotees, credit to all devotees. They're not envious. So as long as we are envious of others, that means we're still envious of Krishna. So you can test, and Prabhupada says like that, every devotee, you have to analyze your own consciousness, your own heart, and see what is there. What is in my heart? And if we detect that there is envy there, that means we are still envious of Krishna. So we have to be introspective. We have to see these things. Do lust, do anger, do greed, envy, all these negative qualities, are they in our consciousness? So a devotee has to see these things honestly. Then you can advance. Because the spiritual world is free from envy. So we must become free. The best way to become free from envy is Vaishnava Seva. To serve Vaishnavas. Then you will become free from envy. And then you'll become qualified to serve Krishna. Because Krishna says, the one who says he is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But one who is the devotee of my devotee, I will accept him. So any points?
So this verse, that's the same.
What is it?
Get rid of the envy.
I can't hear you. What did you say?
Get rid of the envy.
Yeah.
You have to associate with
good
Vaishnavas.
Yeah. So please
rest
in the Lord. Your husband. Okay. No problem. Any devotee. You said you can associate with any devotee, but particularly we look for advanced devotees. Yeah, of course. The guru must be advanced, otherwise he cannot be a guru. So you try to get as much association as you can with the guru, your spiritual masters, your different gurus, your diksha gurus, your shiksha gurus. You try to get as much association with advanced devotees. And if you can't associate with them physically, then you associate with their vani. Just like I was, I got here to Melbourne a couple of hours ago, and then because I listen to, you know, lectures, we all listen to lectures. So the lectures I'm listening to, they're just about to run out.
Okay.
You know, like I've been listening for maybe 6 months to this group of lectures that I've been listening to. So now it's just about to finish. So then I got into ISKCON Desire Tree to look, you know, what's going to be my next project?
Mm-hmm.
What will I listen to next so I can advance more in Krishna consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't get association of physical association of advanced devotees, you can associate with their vani, their instructions, every day.
Okay.
And then, whenever you see advanced devotees, then you try to associate with them.
Okay.
I know there's many advanced devotees in this room, there's many nice devotees, so you try to get their association. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You are welcome. Seeing Lord Shiva unagitated and unashamed, Lord Vishnu Madhusudana was very pleased. Thus he resumed his original form and spoke as follows. Brihad Manopur.
Although Lord Shiva was aghast at the potency of Lord Vishnu, he did not feel ashamed. Rather, he was proud to be defeated by Lord Vishnu. Nothing is hidden from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is in everyone's heart. Indeed, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15.13, Sarvasya Charam Krivis Sanvisto Matta Sritir Jnanam Abhavanam Chav. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Whatever happened had taken place under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there was no cause to be sorry or ashamed. Although Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone, when defeated by Lord Vishnu, he felt proud and he had such an exalted and powerful master.
So what are the points?
So in life, whatever happiness or distress, we should take it as a blessing of the Lord and we should be always thankful for it and be proud that it's under his will.
Anything else?
When you've got love and attachment to a person, then whatever the other person does, you're not offended by that act. Including if somebody makes a joke of you, but you've got a relationship, you don't get offended. You can see here about you are so much attached to Lord Vishnu that all his acts is appreciated.
Any other points?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that somebody, one who was boasting to be really advanced, and Mother Saraswati felt
Keshava Kashmiri.
Yeah. So, I mean, when he was defeated, he was not, he felt ashamed.
It didn't disappear.
We should have been proud.
Should have what?
We should have been proud that
we
were defeated by such a
loss.
Yeah, that's a very good example from
which it comes past times. We associate the third personality many times. Circumstances happen such a way that the test of ability. So this circumstance also, we should not take in a very offensive way, to take it in a positive sense. We have learned from that and then if you take it in a negative sense, then again we achieve it for now. So we want to take a test in a special practice.
Anything else? So, a devotee is satisfied with Krishna's position, and when he sees Krishna's opulence, his bhakti increases. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that whenever we see the greatness of Krishna, it inspires us more and we become more devoted to Krishna. We become less proud and we become more proud of Krishna. So all of these qualities, these negative qualities, they can be purified by using them in Krishna consciousness. So pride is a negative quality which affects all of us. But that quality can be purified, how? By using it in Krishna's service. In other words, I become proud of Krishna, I'm proud of ISKCON, I'm proud of Prabhupada, I'm proud of my guru, I'm proud of the other devotees. But when we are proud of ourselves, then we become fallen. As soon as you think you're advanced, then you're fallen. And if you think you are fallen, then you can make some advancement. So that is the mentality of a devotee. He thinks he is patita. And he thinks about Chaitanya as patita pavana, which means he will purify us. So a devotee, we have to keep ourselves in a fallen consciousness. So that's a very good example that Mataji gave of Keshava Kashmiri. So he was very proud. He was Digvijay. Digvijay means he conquered everywhere. He rode into Navadvip because 500 years ago Navadvip was the seat of learning in India. And all of India was considered to be the place where all the pundits were. The pundits were everywhere throughout India. Navadvip was seen to be the topmost seat of learning. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came from Navadvip. So then Keshava Kashmiri, he'd been traveling all over India, defeating all the pundits. And when he would defeat someone, then he would get them to sign and admit that they'd been defeated by him. So Digvijay is conquering all the directions. So he rode into Navadvip on an elephant because he was very proud, I am the Digvijay. So then, the first night, him and his party, before they entered Navadvip, they camped on the bank of the Ganga. And then Nimai Panda came. Lord Chaitanya was young, it was before he became a sannyasi, so he was still young. And Lord Chaitanya came, and the Digvijay, the pundit, then he was speaking, and he had a group around him. And Lord Chaitanya came, and he was on the edge of his group with his followers. And then Keshava Kashmiri saw Lord Chaitanya, he became attracted as soon as he saw Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya said, great pundit, please speak to us about the glories of Mother Ganga. So immediately, spontaneously, he composed 100 verses in glorification in Sanskrit of the Ganga. So at the end of it, then he said to Nimai Pandit, he said, so what do you think of the composition of what I have composed? And Nimai Pandit said, well, in the 64th verse, there were 5 faults. And then he said, what are those faults? And then Lord Chaitanya pointed out there are 5 faults within the verse. And after hearing the learning of this young boy, he became completely stunned. And Mother Saraswati, who was empowering him, and this is an important point to understand, if we're good at something, it's only because we've been given ability by higher energies, higher personalities. Because they can take it away straight away also. You know, we often give the example, sometimes I give class and in my mind I'm thinking I'm giving a good class now. And then suddenly everything that I'm thinking just disappears out of my mind. Because Krishna is showing it's not coming from us, it's coming from Him. Mata, smitya, jnanam, apohanam cha. I'm giving you knowledge, I'm giving you remembrance, I'm giving you the ability. Krishna says in the Gita, He says, I am the ability in man, in woman. It is all coming from Krishna. So Mother Saraswati, she was embarrassed to stay before Lord Chaitanya. She left his tongue. He could not say anything. And everyone began to laugh at him. And then Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't laugh at him like that. So then he went, he prayed to Mother Saraswati. He said, where were you? And then finally she appeared before him. She said, don't you know who that was? You just met Bhagavan. You just met my Lord. Supreme personality and where I get my power from. I cannot speak before him. So then he had realization and he surrendered also to Nimai Pandit. So that's a nice example of Mataji reminded us.
I thought he disappeared.
Who's that? He left, but then there was a meeting. He met with Lord Chaitanya. So there's a very good example that someone, they become, when they're embarrassed by the Lord, they become disappointed. But a devotee understands, no, I'm being embarrassed because I'm proud, because I've become intoxicated with pride, and Krishna's embarrassing me. And now I'm back to my senses, and I should understand that my ability is coming from Krishna. So a devotee should remain humble. That's the adhika, or the qualification of a devotee. Unfortunately, we forget that all the time. And we're not very humble. Especially when the guru comes, and all the god brothers and all the disciples fight. They lose their humility. Not very good. Doesn't happen all the time, but I do hear it happen sometimes. Not very arguing with your god brothers, who will serve, who will serve. It's not the mood of the spiritual world. You won't get back to the spiritual world. You might be serving the guru, but you won't go back to Krishna. Because you're full of pride. And it contaminates the service. Any other points?
One thing I don't understand really, I mean, in Deva Goswami, he also defeated one because his guru, he said that your guru has accepted the thing. So, I mean, if somebody says to you like this, then how can you tolerate somebody saying something about your guru?
No, someone says something about your guru, you should defend the guru.
So, what was wrong with Deva Goswami?
Then that senior devotee came and he'd written something, and then Rupa Goswami said, I can edit that for you if you like. No, if you listen, I'll tell you the whole
thing.
That's what took place. So he said, I will edit that for you, Rupa Goswami said to him. So then he gave it to Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami made some corrections, and then he gave it back to the learned devotee, and the devotee said, no, there's no defects there. So Rupa Goswami was very humble. He just said, okay, then, no problem. So then he went to the Jamuna to take bath, and then Jiva Goswami, then he had realized that Rupa Goswami was correct. So then he followed him, and he said, why is it that you did not accept Rupa Goswami's editing? And he said, no, because Rupa Goswami wrote these things, these comments, but actually I said to Rupa Goswami, no, that's not correct. Jiva Goswami said, no, Rupa Goswami is correct. And then he proved. And then the senior devotee, he was amazed that Jiva Goswami was very young, but he was so learned. So he went back to Rupa Goswami and he said, your nephew is very learned. He's corrected me. So then he left, and then Rupa Goswami called for him, called for Jiva Goswami. And he was happy because he had defended his guru. But in order to teach us an example that we should not correct senior devotees, right? Then he said to Jiva Goswami, he said, you have to leave this place.
I thought somebody came to him and he said, and Jiva Goswami didn't want to, Rupa Goswami didn't want to have any argument with him. And he said, I accept you.
That's a different.
Yeah, so in that one, also I think Rupa Goswami destroyed.
No, not in that one. It's a different one. That's another one where he came along and Rupa Goswami and Sananga, so they just signed it and you go. That's a different.
I thought that was the
two different pastimes. Anything else? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best of the demigods, although you have been amply harassed because of my potency in assuming the form of a woman, you are established in your position. Therefore, may all good fortune be upon you. Prema Tarangini.
Since Lord Shiva is the best of the demigods, he is the best of all devotees. Vaishnava nam etashandhu. His exemplary character was therefore prized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gave his benediction by saying, "May all good future fortune be upon you." When a devotee becomes a little proud, the Supreme Lord sometimes exhibits his supreme power to dissipate the devotee's misunderstanding. After being angry, harassed by Lord Vishnu's potency, Lord Shiva resumed his normal, unagitated condition. This is the position of a devotee. A devotee should not be agitated under any circumstances, even in the worst reverses. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.22, Yasmin Sitona Dukhena Gurunapi Vichalyate. Because of his full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is never agitated, even in the greatest trials. This pridelessness is possible only for the first class devotees, of whom Lord Shambhu is one.
What are the points?
Do you think Lord Shiva was proud? I can't understand this sentence though. When a devotee becomes a little proud, the Supreme Lord sometimes exhibits his supreme power to dissipate the devotee's misunderstanding. How does it apply in Lord Shiva?
It means there might have been a little bit of pride there. Might have been something. Just like the gopis, they became a little proud. But that was like an arrangement of Krishna's pastime potency. So the same way, maybe Krishna has covered Lord Shiva, so he appears to be a little proud, so that Krishna can perform this pastime. So it's not clear, because Prabhupada says that he is free from these faults, but now he writes that he has some small pride. It might be something.
We understand that in this past time, Lord Shiva, being a Bhagava of the false world, he assumed a little bit of Purusha Bhava. So, though Prabhupada says that it was no part of Lord Shiva, it's only past time, but he wanted to enjoy. So, that was, can we understand that that was a bit quiet from the past time issue?
Prabhupada says earlier that because he has all mystic potencies, there may be some like small pride was there or something. Nothing serious. And it could just be an arrangement by Krishna himself just to show his superiority to Lord Shiva. Anything else?
Also,
part of
the pastime has Lord Lord Shiva saying. Nandinath wished to see it, and he wanted to see the morning of the form. The Lord actually gave him thanks for the morning. That may not be so good. The Lord still insisted last time. Thank him.
Yeah. Because he knew he would be worthy of him. I think Prabhupada says at that point then that he had some, like, a little pride that, you know, I am powerful, I won't become bewildered, but then the Lord thinks, well, then I will bewilder you to show you. I think so. Any other points?
So this is a good point when it comes to people arguing Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes we see a big community of people who have this understanding that Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the first time I'm preaching this.
Yeah. That's why we have to study the Bhagavatam. As you study the Bhagavatam, it's clear that Krishna is supreme. He's superior. So this is one pastime. Back in the sixth canto, Lord Shiva is meditating upon Sankarsana. In the tenth canto, he gives benedictions to what's the name? Rikasura. Yeah, and then the Lord has to save Lord Shiva. So there's many pastimes in the Bhagavatam that if we learn them, then we understand. There's also the pastime of Bhrigu Muni, yeah, with Brahma, Shiva, and then Vishnu. Okay, so So there's many pastimes in the Bhagavatam which show that Krishna is supreme. So we need to learn the Bhagavatam so that we can point this out to people, so they have the correct siddhanta or understanding.
I thought it was how Lord Krishna wanted to give the lesson from Bhagavad Gita, so he put the Arjuna in a bit of...
Covered him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be something like that.
So I thought, because Lord wanted to teach the other sages that be careful, and that even who you're worshipping or Shiva, but he can be, I can be with him too.
Yeah, that's part of the lesson. We should fear Maya. Anything else? So, Sanatana Goswami points out in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that dainya means humility, and prema means bhakti, love for Krishna. The two are synonymous. If you have real love for Krishna, or if you have genuine bhakti, or if you're cultivating genuine bhakti, then we will see humility in the character. If there's some defect in our cultivation of our devotion, then we will see pride in the character. Every devotee is proud. It means conditioned devotee, not nityasiddha, not like Prabhupada or something like that, but all of us, we have pride. We're all dealing with pride. We're all trying to overcome pride. It's there in all of us. But we see that if we stick to the process of bhakti, and if we're applying the process properly, and we're sincere in our bhakti and our devotion, pride should be diminishing. Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, all these negative qualities, they should be diminishing in the devotee. So you have to test your consciousness all the time. You constantly have to look at yourself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every Ekadashi. What day is it today? Every Ekadashi, you should study the 26 qualities of a devotee, and you should see, am I developing these qualities? And you should see, are the negative qualities disappearing? You should be doing this regularly. So we have to always assess ourselves as devotees. So lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, all these qualities should be diminishing. Sometimes they come back strong. They resurface. And we constantly have to see, over time, are they gradually becoming less? They come up and down, up and down, up and down. But over time, it should be becoming less, 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 less. Gradually. Now, that means we're applying the process properly. And if we are sincere, then Krishna will help us to remove the anattas that we cannot remove ourselves. Because some things, we're so stubborn and so attached and so conditioned that we won't give up. So then Krishna will help us if we're trying, sincerely. So one who has real bhakti, he has real humility. So we see Lord Shiva, he has genuine humility. Why? Because he has pure devotion. So if you have pure devotion, you'll also have pure humility. And we see that in Prabhupada. Prabhupada had pure devotion, he also had pure humility, both of them. Any other points?
What do you mean by pure humility?
Pure humility means that you don't have any pride.
But humility is the same. What do you mean by pure humility?
One is pure, and one is not pure.
But then it's not
humanity. Okay. My dear Lord Shambhu, who within the material world but you can surpass my illusory energy? People are generally attached to sense enjoyment and conquered by its influence. Indeed, the influence of material nature is very difficult for them to surmount. So, Leela Mai, I'd like to read that.
Of the three chief demigods, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, all but Vishnu are under the influence of Maya. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are described as Mayi, which means under Maya's influence. But even though Lord Shiva associates with Maya, he is not influenced. The living entities are affected by Maya, but although Lord Shiva apparently associates with Maya, he is not affected. In other words, all living entities within this material world except for Lord Shiva are swayed by Maya. Lord Shiva is therefore neither Vishnu Tattva nor Jiva Tattva. He is between the two.
What are the points? Another important thing which is taught in the Bhagavatam, and this is not understood properly throughout India and around the world, people don't understand Shiva Tattva. Shiva is not Vishnu, and he's also not a Jiva. And it's a very special Tattva which must be understood. The Bhagavatam is teaching us Vishnu Tattva. Who is Vishnu? Vishnu means the Supreme. Who is Jiva? Who is Shakti? Who is Shiva? They're all different. All the tattvas are different. And unfortunately, these days in India, people, they just merge it all together because they don't know. They don't understand the Siddhanta or the conclusion. Therefore, they say Shiva is Vishnu, Shakti is Vishnu, even they say Jiva is Vishnu. But it is not clear. The Bhagavatam does not describe like that. The Bhagavatam said there is a very clear... There are very clear definitions, and the categories are very different. Shiva is completely different from the Jivas, but he is also slightly different to Vishnu. So this must be carefully understood. So Shiva Tattva means that he has his own category. We described this last week or the week before. He has 55 of the qualities of Vishnu. Rupa Goswami explains this. 50 qualities are there, which the Jiva can have to some degree. But then there are 5 qualities found in Vishnu, but these 5 qualities are also found in Shiva to a great degree. And then there are a further 5 qualities which are only found in Vishnu. And then there are finally 4 qualities which are only exhibited by Krishna. So, these qualities must be understood. And Shiva must be understood. He is not supreme. People need to clarify this, because these days people don't understand. They think it's all one, it's all the same, everyone is equal, all the gods are equal, but all the gods are not equal. Some of the gods are Jiva, some of the gods are Shakti, some of the gods are Shiva. And Vishnu is Vishnu, it's a different category. So it needs to be clearly understood, so that we understand ourselves, and so that we can also help others to understand. So Prabhupada was very emphatic that these things be properly understood. Prabhupada said our society is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not God Consciousness, because God is very vague. They wanted to call the society International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada said no, it must be Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada was very emphatic. It is Krishna who is the original person, because that is described in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Even when it comes to Ramachandra and the Sringadeva and the other principal avatars of Krishna, Prabhupada was very definite that they are the expansions. They are not the original. Ete chamsa kalapam, they are the amsha, which means the parts or the expansion. The original form is Krishna. This must be understood. This was Lord Chaitanya's message. Any points?
It looks a bit conflicting to me here, the first line and then the rest of the thing. It says, of the three chief demigods, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, all but Vishnu are under the influence of Maya. And then it says that
Lord Shiva
is not.
Yeah, it is. It's contradictory. Yeah. Sometimes Prabhupada says things like that.
Okay.
It contradicts what he said in the previous line or in the previous purport, so you don't have to take so much notice of it. It's more, we look at the section, you look at the whole pastime, you read all the purports, and then you take the essence.
Okay.
So Prabhupada says apparently contradictory things. We don't take notice of that. We take what is his emphasis. Because Prabhupada, you know, he says one thing and then the next line he says another thing. So then, yeah. Who knows why Prabhupada wrote it like that? Any other points? The material external energy, Maya, who cooperates with me in creation and who is manifested in the three modes of nature, will not be able to bewilder you any longer. So, Mahaprabhu.
When Lord Shiva was present, his wife Durga was also there. Durga worked in cooperation with Supreme Personality Godhead in creating the cosmic manifestation. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Dakshin Prakriti Svijas Tarsanam. The material energy works under my direction. O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and non-moving beings. Prakriti is Durga. Srishti Sthiti Pulaya Sadhana Sukhtir Eka Chayev Yash Bhavanen Bharati Durga. The entire cosmos created by Durga incorporated in cooperation with Lord Vishnu in the form of Kal, time. Sa Ikshada Lokan Nu Vrja. Sa Imal Lokan Asya. This is the version of Vedas. Maya happens to be the wife of Lord Shiva, and thus Lord Shiva is in association with Maya. But Lord Vishnu here assures Lord Shiva that this Maya will no longer be able to capture.
Any other points?
What
is
this Maya?
The,
Mahamaya.
Mahamaya. I mean, did
his wife had to do something with it?
She was wife. She is Mahamaya. And so she was.
I mean, was she the one? She had some hand in bewildering Lord Shiva?
No, it was Krishna. It was Yogamaya.
Yoga.
Anything else?
So why does he say that she won't?
You're expert at picking up every single detail. I can't say. Prabhupada writes things, I can't understand sometimes what he's saying when he writes it. You know, Prabhupada makes that, he writes that sentence. It's not clear. Seems ambiguous, seems confusing. Like when Prabhupada writes something, if I don't understand that, I just read the whole section. And then I understand Prabhupada's points overall.
Okay.
You know, if I take one line and analyze that, why is Prabhupada saying like that? You know, why did he say this thing and in the previous sentence he said that? It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Any other point? So Shiva's wife is Durga. Durga is Mahamaya. Her original form is Yogamaya. This is described in Navadvipa Mahamaya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That she becomes despondent because sometimes you're given a service which you find difficult. Devotees said you do this service, but it's difficult to do. So her service is the most difficult service. What is her service? It's to keep all of us away from Krishna. That's her service. Because she is Mahamaya. So it's to cover everyone. She has two potencies. This is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One potency covers all the living entities, and the other one pulls the living entities back when they try to escape. So there are two types of Shakti which she has. One is general covering. Yeah, and the other one is the pulling down potency, like that. So she has these different potencies. So she doesn't feel very enthusiastic. And my service is to keep all of us away from Krishna. So then she says to Lord Chaitanya in the Navadvipa Mahamaya, she says to Lord Chaitanya, I don't like my service. But then Lord Chaitanya says, do not worry, because in the spiritual world you are Yogamaya. And your service is to bring everyone closer to me. But when you come to this world, then you do this service. But your original form is something else. So, this is her position. Her position is to take everyone and try to keep them away from Krishna. And therefore, she's Lord Shiva's wife. Because Lord Shiva is the husband of the material energy. He carries the glands, the time element, the shaktis of the Lord, the glands of the Lord. He carries that to Mahamaya. And he touches her. So therefore, he becomes tamasi, or in contact with the material energy. Whereas Vishnu does not. He just glances, but he never directly contacts them. Any points?
I think it was third canto. She becomes shy,
Yeah, I don't remember the exact part, but...
Yeah,
it's described like that. She becomes that. Okay. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, having thus been praised by the Supreme Personality who bears the mark of Sri Vatsa on his chest, Lord Shiva circumambulated him. Then, after taking permission from him, Lord Shiva returned to his abode, Kailas, along with his associates. Shukadeva.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that when Lord Shiva was offering obeisance unto Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu arose and embraced him. Therefore, the word Sri Vatsa Krishna is used here. The mark of Sri Vatsa adorns the chest of Lord Vishnu. And therefore, when Lord Vishnu embraced Lord Shiva while being circumambulated, the Sri Vatsa mark touched Lord Shiva's bosom.
Chest. Any points?
Lord Vishnu is exhibiting the higher quality, like giving or respect to the Vaishnavas. So, as devotees, we should be giving equal respect or due service and respect Vaishnavas, because we consider Vaishnava as Vaishnavana, the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So, this is one of the lessons which we can learn from this.
So he received the blessings of the Lord. The Lord has on his chest Sri Vatsa. When you go to Vaikuntha, everyone there has the same similar form as the Lord, Swarupya Mukti, which means they have very similar form. In Vaikuntha, everyone has four arms, they have blue form, look very much almost identical to the Lord himself. But one difference, there's several differences, but one of the differences is Sri Vatsa. So Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, she takes the form of Sri Vatsa on the chest of the Lord. It's a little golden tuft of hair, which is on the chest. And then that tuft of hair shows everyone that this is the Lord himself. So she stays on the chest because Lakshmi wants to always be close to the Lord. And she is giving benediction or blessing to the devotees. It is Radharani who gives blessing to the devotees of Krishna. It's Lakshmi who gives blessings to the devotees of Narayana. So when Lord Vishnu, he puts Shiva to his chest, then he's being blessed. That is the symbolism of that. So if a devotee embraces us, then that is a blessing. If a senior devotee touches us on the head or blesses us, then that is a blessing. So the Lord is blessing Lord Shiva. I'm happy with you. I'm satisfied with you. Because your attitude is correct. So that is what the senior devotees are looking for. They want to see, is our attitude correct? If we have the right attitude, they bless us. If the attitude is not correct, then they will chastise us. Or they will ignore us. So devotees want to, the Lord always wants to see, do the devotees have the right attitude? So if the attitude is correct, then we get blessings.
And if the attitude is not correct, then you'll get a different type of mercy. That will come. Any points?
Has Lord Vishnu, all Lord Vishnu got the mark of the Buddha Gopinath?
Bhrigu, when Bhrigu kicked him, yeah, it says that there's a mark on the chest, like a...
So all Vishnu have got it?
Yeah, it's mentioned. Also, Vishnu wears Kaustubha Mani. It could be a few things. I'm not sure how many things there are. Sri Vatsa, Kaustubha, that mark from the chest, Bhrigu's, a few things.
Does Lord Krishna also have that?
Sri Vatsa, yeah. Yeah, Krishna also has Sri Vatsa. He also has Kaustubha. Anything else?
The Guru now in the daily, normally when a senior Vaishnava, we don't, we have to take darshan or pay respect from the Lord's feet. That's when we offer business. Now when it comes to the equal, then we can remember it, and if it is superior, we can take the position higher so that we can keep the difference. This is all the way in Lord Shiva.
No, first Lord Shiva offers obeisances first. Then when he gets up, he embraces him. So Lord Shiva doesn't think he's equal to Vishnu. It's like sometimes you offer obeisances to the senior devotee, and then when you get up, the senior devotee embraces you. Just like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, and then when they stood up, then Lord Chaitanya embraced them. He kicked him on the chest, so his foot.
His footprint.
Footprint. O descendant of Bharat Maharaj, Lord Shiva, in jubilation, then addressed his wife Bhavani, who is accepted by all authorities as the potency of Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva said, O goddess, you have now seen the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the unborn master of everyone. Although I am one of the principal expansions of his lordship, even I was illusioned by his energy. What then is to be said of others who are fully dependent on Maya? When I finished performing mystic yoga for 1,000 years, you asked me upon whom I was meditating. Now here is that Supreme Person to whom time has no entrance, and who the Vedas cannot understand. So Janeshwari, you want to be there?
Eternal time enters anywhere and everywhere, but it cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor can the Vedas understand the Supreme Personality of God. This is an indication of the Lord's being omnipresent, omnipresent, and omniscient.
So what are the points? What does that mean?
So time doesn't have a diminishing effect. It's only in the material world. But time exists as Krishna, so it's a diminishing, the lasting, but there is expanding.
Yeah, in the spiritual world, time is spiritual. So there is time in the spiritual world, because in Brahma Samhita says there is no time. That's the way it's translated. So sometimes devotees give class, they say there's no time in the spiritual world. That doesn't make sense, because Krishna has Ashtakaliya Lila, which means eightfold daily pastimes. The sun rises every day, the sun sets. The moon rises every day, the moon sets. The moon is always full in the spiritual world. Right? So there is a sequence of time. Right, in the spiritual world, day after day after day, like that. But the difference is, in the material world, time destroys. In the spiritual world, there's no destruction by the time in life, because the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion are not prevalent. They're not existing. In the spiritual world, it is Shuddha Sattva. So time is spiritual. It is pure.
So then it says that Krishna cannot be understood by the Vedas. Vedeshu dulabham adulabham atma bhakto. Krishna cannot, Lord Brahma says, by studying the Vedas you cannot understand Krishna. Because the Vedas are very vast and they speak in, to a degree, the Vedic literature speak in an impersonalistic way, to a degree, the great body of work of Upanishads and the Vedic literatures. So it's very difficult. Vedeshu dulabham. Dulabham means very difficult. You can study the Vedas, but to understand the personality of Godhead, it is difficult. It takes a great amount of study and a great amount of intelligence and ability. Whereas, adulabham atma bhakto. Adulabham means easy. It is easy to understand Krishna without difficulty if you have atma bhakto, devotion. So if you have devotion to Krishna, Krishna can be understood. If you study the Vedas with devotion, Krishna can be understood. But it takes time, it is difficult. Therefore, Vyasadeva, understanding the Vedas are very difficult to understand, he compiled the essence of the Vedas in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So by studying the Bhagavatam, it becomes easy to understand Krishna as supreme. Because the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas, and it describes God as being a person. So by studying the Bhagavatam, it is not difficult to understand. Because it is the essential point. What is difficult by studying all the Vedas? He just took the essence out, so this is the essence. Now understand this, that God is a person. Any points? Yeah, of course. It's the same as him.
So what do you mean by not distinctive?
You don't get old. Birth, death, old age and disease do not exist.
So what does the time do then?
It just has like a sequence of, just like here. Just imagine like, you know, this morning it was morning, now afternoon, now it's evening. Mm-hmm. Right? So we've passed through everything, but we got older. Whereas in the spiritual world, you go through it all, but you don't get older. You wake up the next day, you're the same.
Okay.
You stay the same, you never change.
Okay.
Krishna is changeless. Puranam purusham navayovanam cha. Even though you're very old, you never get old. You always look young. Like Krishna, he never gets old, he always looks young. Anything else?
So can I understand the purpose of Vedas by Krishna's given? If we are not able to understand Krishna, of course he is Ananda Kalyana Guru, so we cannot understand him completely, but the purpose of Vedas is to learn and understand him. Of course, through devotion. But I didn't understand the point which you said, even with devotion.
Difficult, that's the point. It's difficult to understand. Like if you read Isha Upanishad, like we only have one Upanishad. We don't read all the Upanishads. We've only been given one. I've only ever read Isha Upanishad. I haven't read the others. Katha Upanishad and all the rest. I've never read them. But if you read Isha Upanishad without the purports, just the Sanskrit, without Prabhupada's translation, which is clear, and without the purport, which makes it more clear, if you just read the Sanskrit, it's hard to understand God as a person. Like that. So therefore, dulabham, vedeshu, by studying the Vedas, it is difficult to understand that God is a blue cowherd boy. But then the Bhagavatam just says directly, he is a blue cowherd boy. So it all becomes easy. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Isha Upanishad doesn't say Krishna's tu Bhagavan, doesn't say directly. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Bhagavatam does. So the essence is taken out and it's made easy.
Understand this?
It means Krishna says in the Gita that evam param para praptam in Mamrajashi, if you want to understand the Vedas, you need to understand it through disciplic succession. Then you can understand it. Like all of us, we have no idea. I don't have any idea.
Right.
But if I understand it in disciplic succession, then I can understand as it is. So even though you have the Vedas, you have to understand it through Guru. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, the person who bore the great mountain on his back for the churning of the ocean of milk is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Shanga Dumba. I have now described to you his prowess. The endeavor of one who constantly hears or describes this narration of the churning of the ocean of milk would never be fruitless. Indeed, chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only means to annihilate all sufferings in this material world. Assuming the form of a young woman and thus bewildering the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributed to his devotees, the demigods, the nectar produced from the churning of the ocean of milk. And through that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always fulfills the desires of his devotees, I offer my respectful obeisances." So the question is, why did Krishna favor the demigods, not the demons? Because they're devotees. Right? Just like the example is given, if you have children, right? There are so many children, but you have more affection for your children. Right? That's there for every parent. Right? Even though there are many children in the room, your children you have affection for. So Krishna, why does he favor the demigods? Because they're his devotees. The demons are his creation also. Everyone comes from Krishna, but when someone has love for Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. Yayatamam prapachanti tams tatavi bhajanam. If you're reciprocating, Krishna reciprocates. If there's no devotion, then Krishna does not reciprocate. That is the system. Okay, so tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 13. Please come. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Ho.